But you know, friends, this morning I was thinking of this quite a while about imitating the world. In the early days of the church life, church history tells us, in early days of church, church was known as a legalistic entity. Very legalistic. In the days of old, they had 10 commandments and the Pharisees added 600 laws more to make it legalistic. The church became so legalistic that life died. Because people couldn't cope. When there's too much of laws, you can't breathe. The sad thing, the pendulum has swung this way. Today, the church is so liberal that it doesn't know its identity. Isn't that true? Think about it. Eh? We are following every whim, every fancy, everything that we see. We follow. We swung from here to there. Be careful, church. I hear people say a lot of things, good, good. And I've always asked them, what's so good about it? When you say something is good, please have an understanding of why it's good. You know, friend, the church has gone that way. And today, a lot of people don't imitate the Bible. They imitate what's out there. The church has become a smorgasbord of all the things of the world. Frightening, eh? When I think, I've got experience to say as a Christian, I grew up, I see the changes is so drastic. It's changing so fast. And the changes are not good. Many of the changes are taking us down. Isn't it? Look at the morals of the church also. Eh? Look at the morals of the church. Don't talk about the world. Look at the morals of the church. It's frightening, church. I know, I love that little snippet on promises. You know, God promised to take care of the church, but today the church has walked out of that promise and gone to the world. It's frightening when I read things about happening a pastor. I feel the deep fear in my heart. You know why? Because the danger is that the enemy has come in the church. He has come in camouflaged as an angel of light. It's frightening, church. I'm not bringing fear. I'm not an advocate or an agent of fear. But sometimes God wants us to have a bit of fear, friend. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and understanding and knowledge. People walk without fear. We have anarchy and chaos. Huh? Look at Hong Kong. No fear of the law. Anarchy and chaos becomes the rule of the day. This morning, I want to read Ephesians. He said, Paul writes this to the church of Ephesus. Paul loves Ephesus. Paul loved Philippi. He loved the churches he planted, he started, he put his life. He invested every bit of his life in building churches. Don't ever stop coming to church, friend. Don't ever. Don't despise church. Whatever is going on, do not despise church. Because the church is out of the hand of God. He said, upon this rock, I build my church. Whatever you see happening in the world, in the church, don't despise the church. We need the church. Amen? Don't ever. I dislike people say, I don't go. Don't ever despise the church. That's the greatest sin of insult and being ungrateful to God. Because He built this church for us. Eh? All right? So he said, Paul loved. He said, follow therefore as dearly beloved church. We are always considered in God's lingo as children. You can be 101 years. To Him, you're still a child of 101 years. God's lingo has never changed. He still calls us children. You are my children. I love you. He said, dearest children, and walk in the way of love. You know, I love just as Christ loved. We sang that song. Beautiful. I never heard that song sung that way. Beautiful. I've never heard it sang that way. I thought it's an old hymn with such a beautiful, powerful message. Yes, for God, so simple statement, but has a powerful impact to bring us to reality that God loved us, friend. That God really loved us. I don't know what He saw in us, but He saw something worth dying and loving. Amen? For God so loved. He said, walk in love, as gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice. You know, I looked at that verse and I said, follow. Jesus uses the word follow many times. Paul uses the word imitate, which is the same meaning. Follow. Follow after something good. The church is chasing things that are not good anymore, friend. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 to chapter 6, it talks about chasing the elusive wind. Dream. Elusiveness has become so strong in our heart. when God already gave us a promise, we turn that promise into an elusive thing. God's promises are not elusive. Huh? It's for sure. He said, it's for sure. My promises are for sure, not elusive. This morning, I want to bring this to our heart. What are you imitating, church? When I sit in the mall, I like to see little babies. I like babies. Not that I want any more babies. Please don't. But I love babies. I love. As long as they are babies, when they become teenagers, then it's a bit hard. But I see babies, I will go and tease. Sometimes I see babies in the pram, I make my tongue. And then after a while, you see the baby. Suddenly, the baby trying to push his tongue. You know why? The power of imitation is so powerful. Monkey see, monkey do. But we are not okay. It's okay. Just side run. But you know, you just do. Anytime you sit in the mall, you see a baby, us, and you just look at the baby, you smile. The baby, even it does, it will, in a matter of time, follow you. What you see is more powerful than what you hear. A picture speaks 1,000 words. Imitate. God gave us something to imitate. You know that? He wants us to imitate. But I wanted to just bring a bit of understanding in this word. Next one. Imitate and impersonate. Huh? There are three words that can go. It's follow, impersonate, and mimic. Mimic. You know mimic? Mimic is used for entertainment and insulting people. Huh? You mimic somebody and then you laugh. Huh? Impersonate is to pretend. The church need not pretend. We don't have to pretend God is here. God is here. Amen? The word said God is here. God is here in the midst where two or three of us are gathered. There in our midst, the Lord is. No need to pretend. You pretend, you die. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to pretend. And the undertaker made 2 takes in 1 day. That is to impersonate, to pretend to be a different. Hey, guys, just be who you are. God loves you the way you are. He doesn't want you to be an impersonator. Stand-up comedian. You don't impersonate. But he says that, he says the identity, while imitate is to follow as a model or pattern. Jesus gave us a pattern to live and a model to be a church. Amen? Are you that model? I have a friend. It may be a sickness. He likes to watch all these catwalks. He said he always loves watching models. But God wants you and me to be a model, to make a copy of what He is. Amen? Are we modeling after the model God gave us? What are we modeling, actually? Yeah? What are we modeling? Can I just get the next one? Everybody is mimicking someone. Everybody, every day. People who are in music try to emulate or mimic their favorite artist. I met a young preacher, S.N. And the moment I met him, I saw his senior pastor in him. He talked, he acted, oh, steady, man. And I told him, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why don't you be yourself? I said, you don't realize, unknown to you, you are mimicking, you're impersonating your pastor. Just be yourself. We are following. Models follow. People in the music world, world of business, world of finance, people are mimicking. They want to be rich like Jack Ma. Is it? What's his company called again? Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. But he just wants to be Alibaba. No, I thought for a while, church, ask yourself, who are you modeling after? People are impersonating Christ by carrying a cross and walking the street. Hey, Jesus never asked us to do that. In Philippines, I was there. They nailed the guy. Silly guy. He's trying to show he's Christ. God doesn't want us to impersonate him. He wants us to imitate his principles, his values, and his characteristics, friend. Not to carry that cross on the road. Please don't do that. You know, the fact that he does it, he's trying to show the world that carrying the cross is nothing. Jesus didn't care the pain. The pain was inside the sin of the world. What are you mimicking? Watch your kids. Young girls, young kids are being dressed up like models today. Aussie families have gone into that state where they want to start selling their kids from young to be modeled, mimic them. Wow, but none of them want to model their kid after the Christian faith. You notice that? What are we modeling? As a church, as a Christian, my concern is, I ask myself after 40 over years as a Christian, am I or have I come close to the model and the manifesto God gave me in my life? Am I close to it or far? Have I been on right track or have I been sidetracked? Have I been distracted by things of the world that I've been chasing after things when God actually gave me the blueprint for my calling, for my ministry, for my life? It's a frightening thing. The day you stand before Him and you find that you actually were miles away from what He had for you. I don't know about you, but I take it seriously because that really brings out what God has for me. That God modeled before He saved me, before the foundation of this world, He said, I already planned for you. Even before you're born in your mom's womb, I drew up a plan for you. He said, even before you came into this world, my plan was on the table for you. And I made it known to you. This is what I want of you. Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? Where did you not understand what I was doing for you? Why did you not follow that model? Parents, we want to model the kids after us. Isn't that true? Please don't. Let me tell you. Let the kid be what God has that kid to be, friend. Teach kids principles. Don't teach kids to impersonate you or clone that kid. Teach principles, good principles. Because at the end of the day, it's the foundational principles that will sustain whatever God has for that kid. Amen? It's so sad. You know, I've got few friends who, I look at them and they force the kids, they're pushing the kids. It's okay to push, but what are you pushing for? What are you pushing to? Let us go back to that model that we need to imitate, superheroes. Now, what's the heroes? A marvels. I have a marvelous God, friend. I have a marvelous God. I don't have to take out my shirt and show you my six-pack, but I have a marvelous God. Amen. I have a marvelous God. You know, when you sit down and think, their marvels are trying to captivate the minds of people. Superhero. We have one superhero. He's the hero of all heroes. Amen? Secondly, about the churches. I do a lot of churches. Last year, I did about 90 different churches. Huh? Some of them I've never heard. Some I don't want to go back anymore. Honestly, I told, please don't call me. I don't want. Because some of them no longer operate in the terminology of church. It becomes clubs. Two, they have become so conscious about things that even names of God, manner of prayer and worship has been toned down. So I went to a church where they don't want you to talk about Father. How? The Bible talks about Father. I'm a kid to Him. And I wonder why they want to model a church that is appeasing and appealing to the crowd, not to Jesus. You know, I'm not as loud as Pastor Calvin. He's loud. He's really loud. But I enjoy the worship. Honestly, because I love this kind of... I cannot pretend and I won't imitate Him. I won't impersonate Him. You know, I love the worship where the name of God is vocalized and verbalized for all to hear. I may be loud, but when it comes to worship, I'm a bit more mellowed in that. Not that He's not. He's a, I love it. I enjoy it. I always tell people when I said, you must come to my church and hear my pastor pray. Demons run. Deaf ones wake up and pick up their bag and run. Even the deaf can hear. But you know, friend, I feel that churches got to go back to the basic of what God called us to be. To fear the Lord. To be truthful to the Word of God. To never allow compromise to corner us that we lose our sharpness and our substance that God has for us. Please, don't allow... Thank God that you have this church. Keep the church going, friend. Keep the church. Don't compare. One of the greatest misleading is comparison. We start comparing. If you want to compare, compare with Jesus. Don't compare with anything. If you see it's not good, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you feel you can remove yourself, remove yourself. But don't peddle comparison. Because that is a subtle sin of division. Think about it. Eh? What are you going to model? I want to just journey with you on a few models that God has, right? 1 Thessalonians, I love this part. Paul writes, all this is Paul's writing. Here, and you became followers of us and the Lord. Look at it. There is two components that Paul brings about. Huh? First, you follow us as we follow. 1 Corinthians 11:1, what did Paul say? Imitate me as I imitate him. The world needs to see a church. The world needs to see a Jesus before it can ever follow that Jesus. It's not about telling about Jesus. It's not about dictating, articulating. No, it's about living a Jesus that I can follow. Sad to say, we are all in the Thomas's syndrome. Until I see, I can believe. Sad to say, I don't doubt. I think the world has come to that stage where now the onus is on the Christian to live a life that can captivate the lost. Amen? Too many preachers preach and they've gone down the chute of sin. Too many things have said, but nothing has been done. Maybe the church is in the state of doing now rather than saying. Think about it. He says, having received the word in much affliction. You know, one thing I want to say about this church, I like the teaching. We went for teaching on Thursday, and I haven't for a long, long time been to churches where they teach the word. They teach leadership, they teach management, they teach a lot of things. But the Bible says, teach the word in affliction. Hey, to teach the word is very afflicting, eh? People question you, people this. Sometimes you got to look out this way. Some people are so smart, they want to know the root word. Just know the fruit, they want to know the root. Eat the fruit, don't care about the root. But you know, teaching the word, Paul says, we taught the word of God, the living word. Not the knowledge word, but the living word of God was translated to you through our lives. Amen? He said the affliction, the word, much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were, and you know, ensample is another word for example, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out to the world of the Lord, not only, you know, because of the good teaching, they became good examples. They became something other churches wanted to imitate. Amen? The people didn't go and tell you, hello, hello, imitate us. No. But the teachings and the things that transformed their life and changed became a sought-after thing. People wanted that. Wow. They said, we want that. We heard. Paul brought the message. Timothy brought the message. All the people, we want that. We want to imitate what you have. You know, we all want success. Amen? How many of you want to fail? You don't have to make an effort. Just sit down. You fail already. True or not? And sometimes in that quest to succeed, we take the wrong thing. Here is the right thing, friend. Be careful. There is so many offers out there under the heading of success. But only one leads to success. And that is Jesus Christ. Paul's teaching. Paul himself said, follow. Paul constantly, if you look through this episode, constantly in Philippians chapter 3, constantly push about imitating followers. Our lives have become models for you. But the sad thing is, how many of us really can say that, follow me as I follow Christ? That's another thing. Eh? Are you worthy of following? Are you worthy of imitating? Have you reached that place where you have confidence? Because people have abused this, we have cults. We have churches where we have fanatically power-crazy leadership. Paul is not saying, come under me, let me subject you. No, no. He said, just pick up what I'm doing good. What is Christ? Follow. Take the good. Take the good. Follow us. A church of believers worthy of imitating is a church teaching and practicing the truth. That's the only thing we can imitate, the Word of God. Not my opinions. We're very self-opinionated people. Huh? Some of us got so strong opinion, nobody can have an opinion. God is saying, don't teach your opinion. Don't propagate opinions. Propagate the Word of God. The Word of God will in its own way articulate and formulate for you your opinion of God. The greatest thing is your opinion of God, not about other things. Huh? Who is God to you? Who is Jesus? what does the name Jesus mean to you? Like communion this morning, what does it mean to you? Does it mean anything? You know, I believe I have a whole life of belief in communion. Whenever Anne was sick in hospital, I'll go there and do communion. After service, after preaching in the church, I'll rush to the hospital and I go and do it for her. And every Sunday I do, and every Monday she's discharged and help. And I know deep in my heart that there is a power really deep in that communion. The power of a changed life. You know, blood is your lifeline. And Jesus said, I've given you my lifeline that I live in you. Don't teach opinion. Share your life with God. But be truthful. Don't Today we don't tell lies, but we exaggerate a bit. But he said beautifully, unless you bring teachings, the world needs a church that believes in the Bible. Full stop. The world needs to see churches living out the belief of the Bible through their day-to-day activities. Not only Sunday. Amen. You know, of lately, I've been doing a few chaplain duties. I'm not a chaplain, but I've gone to a few nurse, what do you call it? HK. I always forget that. I'm soon heading that way, but see, I always say nursing home. I went there, the lady told me, who's in the nursing home? We are in the HK. I said, oh, sorry. Wrong terminology. But I've been going to HK, and I met a lot, 90, 95, who have been faithful from the time they were 20 years old. And now they're all alone in a nursing home. Nobody comes by. Nobody visits them. And they pray on their own. And they gather together. They take time to, you know, I was doing a service. And this worship leader was a young guy. Some young worship leaders need to learn. Let's stand for the song. And this old, I saw this old person next to me standing. Just as he got up, okay, let's sit down. And I went to the worship leader and I told him, hey man, I said, stop the standing and sitting down. The poor guy just got to his feet. The song almost finished and they said, let's sit now. That's not a nice way to do things. Anyway, let me tell you, there's no such thing as stand or sit to sing. If the Lord leads you, you stand. And I met some of them. And you know, I hear the stories of how they journeyed and how they hold on to the promise of Jesus. They still hold on, even though the church has failed them. Leaders, many failed, but yet they are holding on. You know why? They saw that picture, that model God gave them of their life. How many of us would last that long? Today, it's almost a trend for leaders to give up their faith, for senior pastors to fall in sin, for people. It become a trend of the day. When those days, we never hear this type of thing so much, friend. Be careful. What are we modeling? What we model, somebody said, what we model ourselves will determine our journey. Where are you heading? I want to go home. I've got a mansion. Oh, I own a mansion with my name. I wanted my name specially done on the front door. I wanted to put at the end YNWA. You didn't know what's that, huh? You never walk alone. Jesus walked with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what are you modeling? Let's look at another verse Paul exhorts, right? In Philippians 3:17, he said, brethren, be followers together. This is a powerful one. We are not walking alone. We have a community that is walking together, a community of believers. He said, together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. The church's basic ethos and calling is to be exemplary to the world of the love of God and the life of God. Amen? That's all. The church reflects the life, the love, and who God is. Not about us. It's about God. It's God working in our lives change. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've never been a non-Christian or you were born in a Christian family, you don't know the dynamics and the power of a changed life. Sometimes we assume and assimilate because we are Christian family. No, when you have lost your life and then God gives you back, you know your faith becomes different. Wow, I know my past, but I see my better glory days ahead because God changed me. Example. The world needs a lot of examples, you know, friend. But they're sad to say there's a lot of Black Friday examples out there rushing around, fighting at the door, pushing one another, grabbing the thing. I said, why? Why have we come to a city? You know, can you imagine Sunday? Black, we come what? Bright Sunday. People fighting to come in. I will let them, I'll fight with them also. Nobody. Sunday, nobody wants. People come to church late. 27 hours people were waiting for the door to open. 27 hours. 7 minutes or so, we can't come earlier. 27 hours standing at the door. Cold weather. God blocks. Standing at the door 27 hours. Please, man. If the church, you got 7 minutes, the door full, I'll be proud already. We come 7 minutes past church. You tell me, what is driving people to do that? You tell me what drives? Greed? Joy? When I read, I said, 27 hours? Friend, if you look, this is the model. It's catching fervor from Boxing Day sale to black. Soon, every month, we will have a mad rush to buy things. Buy because it's cheap. Ask him to bless the church. Don't have money. Where are we investing? What example? What am I conveying? What am I transmitting? What am I picturing or modeling for him? It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay for Christians. You know, if you really want to follow the Bible and be a model, there are a lot of things we cannot. That's why we don't want to sacrifice, so we submit. We become submissive to all the things of the world. Sacrifice is a hard calling thing. Huh? We'll come to it later. Next one. Imitate. This is what. In truth, we should imitate others only in so far as they imitate Christ. Don't imitate something who is not imitating Christ. And I looked at this through the verses. There are a few things I feel that we can imitate if we're really looking for models, for ideas. We can imitate people who do good works with integrity, with dignity. These are lost morals. It's losing out in the world. Integrity has lost its value. But if you want to look for something, look for integrity, dignity. Look for something that we can. Titus 2:7 talks about leaders and people. Be people of integrity, church. Jesus was a man of integrity, amen? Someone said integrity was an integral part of his character. He was all integrity. Think about it. If you want to imitate those who lead pure lives. You know, let me bring this, understand, pure doesn't mean spotless. No, people who make an effort, who constantly make an effort to stay away from things that will adulterate their life. Constantly they try. They consciously, intentionally thinking, I want to do things that won't stumble somebody. We don't realize we become stumbling blocks. We stumble a lot of people through what we say, do, or behave out there in the community. Yeah? You know, one day I was driving, and I'm quite an aggressive, not very, but quite aggressive driver. And I drove in Germany, and one day this nut drives a car, and he drives so slow. Actually, he's on the speed, but I wanted to overtake. And then I said to the guy, this idiot, I sang in the car, this idiot thinks he's driving a helicopter. And I parked my car. Then look for my kid. One of my kids went to the guy and said, my father said, you don't know how to drive. You drive like a helicopter. And I look at the guy. The guy looked bigger than me. Bigger than me. And I said, hey, why you do this? But actually, he also, maybe the power of God in me, but he saw me, he talked to me nicely. And I thought, wow. Just that word, my kid modeled, took it up. And he's sitting behind. I don't know how the word went there. Special transportation. Door to door, ear to ear. Mouth to ear. And then I realized, wow, I got frightened. My kid picked up so fast. So fast. Imitate and follow what is taught in scriptures. If you want to imitate, you know, somebody said, the reference book for imitating and all that, look at there. Check this. Check this book out. Check it out. Check it out on here. Hey, please read your Bible, please, church. I tell you, don't cheat yourself, please. The joke is on you later, friend. Read the word. Read the word. You don't have to become a Bible school student. Read the word. Please, there's audio, there's video, there's every door to read the word now. And then you don't read. Come on, friend. You know, I tell you, I take out my cap to is Jehovah Witnesses. What's the other one? The Morons. Not what? Mormons. Morons. I think Uncle Ken, you didn't give water already. La. See the lips are dry already. Can I? You know, I tell you, they sit with you and they quote, they can quote scripture, but the sad thing is they miss the interpretation. Huh? But I ask Christian, how many of you can quote the scripture when you talk? You got the Bible. Please read. You know, just simple, if you're not a good reader, you just read one chapter a day, 24 hours. Cannot read one chapter? You're not as busy as the Holy Spirit? You can't read one chapter? You know, a lot of people say, but Pastor Bishop, I read, I can't remember. I didn't ask you to remember, I asked you to read. How can you remember when you didn't read? When you read, then you will remember. True or not? If you didn't read, how to remember? Remember what? Nothing in your head. But if you start reading slowly as you go along, slowly, memory is built. Memory is built. Memory is built. Resources, you get all. Because you read. Don't hear only. Read, please read. Read the word. I feel very disappointed whenever people talk about ministry, first thing I ask, first question, do you read your Bible? Once in a while. Don't talk to me. I'll talk to you once in a while. If you are a Christian, this should be your love book, man, friend. Come on. When I was in Bible, I tell you, Anne is a witness. In Teen Challenge, I ran as director. Every resident after 2 years before you graduate, you stand on the stage publicly and I'll do 200 verses with you. If you can't remember, get back into the program. I'm very harsh. Because, friend, the word of God is hidden in your heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that it will guide my path in life, man, friend. If you don't have that, what are you modeling your life after? Please read the word of God. I beg you, read the word of God. Someday, that word will echo back in your life. Some circumstance in life, this word will resonate so powerfully and you find your help there. Read the word. Please, don't read newspaper. Don't read all the electronic things first. I read after I read the word of God. I love reading. I read. I mark and I love marking also. Because now I'm reaching an age where sometimes I forget. Sometimes only, not all the time, but so please read. Read the word. Because if you want somebody you want to imitate, check the word out. Is the person saying the right? Is it right? Is it correct? Is it biblical? Not is it political? Is it biblical? You know, 30 people may say it's right, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. Read the word. Imitate, huh? Amen? That's some of the thought. But I want to draw the whole lesson today is I want to take three basic points that I, as a minister, drew strength in my service for God. I emulated these three things that I want to share with you. Number one, I want to imitate the servanthood of God. I am a servant, friend. I am nothing more, nothing less, but I am a servant of God. The highest calling, the highest occupation, the most profitable occupation is that I have been called into servanthood. I didn't apply. I was called. I'm not trained and smart in it, but I thank God, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of. Listen, a God took likeness to become man. The out here in the world, man is trying to impersonate the likeness of a God. Our God took the likeness to come to man, to be man. Today, all other religions and all other cults, people are imitating to be God. Or they're impersonating a God. My God! You know why? That was servanthood. He came down. He came down. He threw away his reputation. Hey, today, we write resumes. Huh? It's a load of rubbish, actually. Yeah. A lot of fraud. A lot of resumes. I used to write for them. I look and I throw in the dustbin. I say, brother, nothing like you. That's what you think you are. Seriously. You ask yourself when you write resume. If you wrote what actually you are, they won't call you for interview. But he gave up his reputation. Took on the form of a servant. Made in the likeness of men. You know, friend, that's my cry, Lord, that I don't become too puffed up, too holier than thou, too spiritual that of no earthly value. Then, Lord, take that reputation. Not that I have a good one, but please replace it with yours. I want to take your resume. Paul had a resume of pedigree. He had it all.
And he gave it up. He said, I count it all but loss that I may know Jesus Christ, that I want to know him. Friend, you want to touch the world, you want the world to model, you model after this servanthood. That you don't chase after the things of this world. It will come. Let me tell you, if it is for you, it will come, irregardless. The sad thing is, if it comes and you are not ready, the good can kill you and make it bad. But if you are ready and you walk with God, whatever comes will make you a success. Because you know why? God is our success. Amen? And being found in fashion as a man. Listen, God didn't pretend to be a man. He was a man. He cried. He slept. He ate. He had every emotion, every being of a human being. He became man. So that you can imitate him. Otherwise you say, but you're God, you don't understand. He said, I walked here. I was tempted. I, the Son of God, was tempted. I became man. The world is looking for genuine, authentic children of God. Don't make up. Sometimes I wonder, are we trying to show I'm a spiritual man? There's nothing to show. People sit with you, people who are walking with God, know whether you're spiritual or not. Be careful. What I think the world is looking, let me see something that is genuine. Isn't that true? We want the genuine. I've gone to so many churches, I always tell them, this church, no more. I don't sense anything of God. The arrogance that exudes from them is frightening and deafening, I said. I'll never go back there. Some churches, you go small, but you know, you find the presence of God. You just don't want to go home. You just want to sit there. So you don't have to show. God will show up when it's needed. Amen? Be careful. He said, humble himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. One of the hardest Christian disciplines is obedience today. Obedience is subjective now. Because in obedience, there's level of obedience. Jesus was obedient unto death. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience overrides all your deeds. If there be no obedience, then that deed is unworthy of it. One other thing, obedient to the word. Read the word of God, friend. Please. Please. You call me Lord, 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 but you don't do what I tell you. You're not obedient, you know. You're just mocking me. Just making a fool of yourself. Just obey. Read the word of God. I tell you, friend, you start reading. Don't sleep. Pastor Peter, I read the word only, I sleep. I said, then who asked you to sit? Stand. You won't sleep. You sleep and fall, you're standing, you wake up again. You hit your head, you'll wake up. We got a lot of excuses. Why, if I read, I can't concentrate. You see, computer game can concentrate. And that's the work the devil is doing. You know the devil doesn't want you to read. Please, like, come on, don't talk to me. I've lived longer to know about reading. I love reading. Be obedient. That's coming. God wants us. God has called us as a unit, as an individual, into the servanthood of His. He's our master. We serve. Serve the master well, friend. Someday, I want to hear these words ring in my ear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care about ordination. I don't care about. I just want to hear, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. I know at the end of the day, that endorsement is all I lived for. All I aspired in my life is the servanthood. Number two is imitating Jesus in his form, his service. Servanthood is one thing. How did he service that servanthood is the most important thing. How did he do that service? Some of us serve God on our own terms and our own condition. I serve God now, but why must come to church early? Hello? Do you want to serve God? Then you follow what God wants. I had a leader tell me, Pastor Mitchell, why must come to church early? Why can't I come on time? I said, you want to serve God? You come. You don't want? Don't come in the door, I said. You don't even come to church. Hey, he said, you are worse than Jesus. But you know, friend, how can you serve? How can you tell your boss, you go to you? I want to serve this company, this organization, on my terms. Unless you're the boss. Terms are done up by God. But the form of your service, you guys, will show how much you love Him. How much you love God. How much you fear. How much you reverence Him. That God is a good God, you know. God is a God of grace. Mercy. Grace has been abused. Mercy has been taken for granted. love doesn't even be displayed in your life. You know, I always like to catch people who do the little mundane things, not the major. The mundane things display a real heart of God. 8 years I was an usher. 8 years. I love ushering. I'm a professional. I can run courses on how to be an usher. 8 years. Chinese service, English service, youth service, whatever service. I didn't even know what's going on. But I was an usher. I love serving. You know why? Because to me, this is my concept. I'm not worthy to even call you Lord. Yet you saved me, you loved me, and you invited me into your kingdom that I may serve you. Wow. Who am I? Who am I, Lord? That you would entrust me to stand at the door and to greet people coming. Who am I? I look at service this way. Who am I, Lord? To be a servant, I can go and preach. Who am I, Lord? I have my own woes, my own struggles, my own battles, my own Lord, I have, but yet, in spite of all, he said, serve with me. I am a co-servant with Jesus Christ. Think about it, friend. I'm co-serving with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that powerful? Look at it. That's my life. That's how I want to imitate for the Lord. Lord, see that our God is so good, so good. He allows us to serve with Him. Even though He knows we are falling, we are struggling, yet He extends that end of service. Oh man, church, you don't know what you're missing out. You don't know what. The world, if you make a mistake, they ostracize you. They remove you. God says, come, continue serving. I love you. I love you. I just have served with the right heart. Colossians says, in all that we do, do it heartily. With all your heart, with all excitement of heart, as if unto the Lord. That's a service I love, friend. I love. And I miss, you know, but now that I love service in church, doing things. I'm not a creature of habits to do things, but I love to do. And I feel sometimes when you don't do, you feel guilty. I could have done that for the Lord. I could have done it, Lord. God is looking for the mundane. Even if picking up a piece of paper, keeping the house of God clean is a powerful ministry. Because you know why? You're telling God, I reverence, I honor. This is your presence. What is the service you offer? Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor Vincent, what is your one greatest wish that yet hasn't been fulfilled? I said, I want to be a worship leader. And I know I cannot, but I keep the hope burning, keep the flame burning. Who knows? Suddenly one morning I wake up, hallelujah. Oh, like the birds I'll sing. Huh? And I know I was told off by my lecturer, Leslie Martin, I think Calvin. One day in chapel, I was in Bible school, the worship leader fell sick. And in my heart, I said, well, God, this is my opportunity. I put my hand up. I said, I will worship lead. He said, okay. I tell you that 20 minutes, the church was in wilderness. I was going on my chords. They were on the chord. The musician stopped. They said, where is this guy going? But I was full on. At the end, when I sat down at the end of the chapel, my lecturer came and said, Pastor Micho, listen, don't ever worship lead again. I said, why? He said, the living will die and the dead will rise up. I said, resurrection? He said, you got no calling. Please don't. And from that day, from 1980, I never led worship because he told me don't lead. But my aspiration, my desire, honestly, if I stand before God, I'm going to question him, why did you not give me that? I love, sometimes I'm singing and my kids say, Daddy, what song are you? I said, we sang on Sunday. He said, you murdered the song. But in my head, I tell you, I'm thinking I'm singing better than Toby Mac or some other John out there. But that's one thing. Till today, I harbor it. I always love. I love worship leading. I can worship. If I sing, follow you all singing, it's okay. But to lead, I don't know when to go in, when to go out, when to stop. And I know my service is effective. But you know what I want to bring is God is asking you to serve not in perfection, but in tandem with His calling. Think about it. He didn't call us to serve in perfection. Well, none of us is perfect. But He's called us to serve in tandem with the call He placed in your heart. Then your service is good, friend. Amen. Lastly, imitating God in His suffering. This is the last one I kept. You know, I tell you, when you go through pain, God is not punishing. It says, of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good, and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. The reason many don't want to serve God is we don't want the pain. We want the gain. We don't want to suffer. We want the pleasures. It's painful. Sometimes I hear people talk, Pastor Mitchell, you're a pastor, you pray. How come your wife got cancer? Why? Painful words. Sometimes words are more painfully inflicted than the physical infliction. And it begins to create doubt in you. But you know, let me tell you, I'm made with a substance that you cannot penetrate. You know why? I'm sold out to this. That Jesus himself didn't redeem. Listen, he didn't redeem himself from his suffering. He allowed himself to be suffered for you and I. He had every authority over suffering. Yet he did not redeem. He released his life into a suffering that you and I have the communion today. Suffering. The suffering that we go through physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, whatever. It's pain. But if you're doing it for good, the reward is great. God is pleased with you, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. You follow. You imitate. You don't just go around chasing and cry. You follow God. He's my example in suffering. You lose, but you win. I rather lose the skirmishes and win the war. That's my greatest win. Suffering. You know, whatever you go through, thank God. God is in it. Sometimes God allows the storm to rage, to calm you. And there are moments He'll calm the storm to teach you. It's in suffering that you bring out the true character, the true Christian-like attitudes in your life that you're suffering for God. It's easy to suffer for someone you love, but to suffer and travail for somebody who is the pain in your anatomy, that's a high calling, friend. Think about it. I lost a good friend, you know, who died of an overdose of drugs not too long. He brought pain to my heart. I walked with him for 17 years. I almost physically fought with him. I snatched him up from drug dealers who wanted to shoot. Personally, run to his house at 3 o'clock in the morning to engage with dealers who came to burn his mom to death. Pain, frightening. I'm no hero, but I'm an idiot sometimes. Sometimes God uses idiots to do things. I mean, I did everything. But when he died, he brought pain to my heart. I cried before God. I said, Lord, is this what you call me? I walked with him and he died. But you know, serving God, God didn't promise us all good things. He promises one thing, and I hold to that, that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you wherever you go, whatever you do. I am with you. The greatest joy, the greatest strength, the greatest healing is you are with me in it all. Suffering for you, maybe coming to church early is a suffering. That's a petty suffering, friend. Sacrificing one day for prayer meeting is a petty one. But yet we are not willing to pay the petty. How can we pay the premium suffering then? You know, I always admire Pastor Kel to start a church. I honestly, if you have been a pastor starting a church, don't mention that to me. Definitely before anybody says, I got calling, God said, don't start a church, follow him. But you know, the pain to go through. And sometimes the pain is exaggerated or made more when the ones you are helping who inflict the pain. And today you got a good church. The church is born out of sufferings, huh? The church was never born out of prosperity, but out of suffering. The church came about, and today you have. And God has called us, guys, listen, model after me. The world needs a suffering church, not a prosperity church. The world needs to see the church on its knees, weeping. Not just standing and boasting, but weeping and kneeling and crying out and calling upon the name of God. Churches have lost it. They've gone to the other extreme. They boast about what they're doing. No, don't boast. Your suffering is your only boasting. Amen? Through pain. You know, just now Sean was saying about baby. You know, even to bring forth a life is painful, suffering. But what's the joy after that? Pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. I thank God. I don't know what's happening in our life. We journey, but I know one thing. Above all else, no result. One thing I know, He has not left me. In that valley and in that shadow, that valley of death and decision, I walk and I have a friend with me. In the fiery furnace, I have a friend. In the lion's den, I have a friend. And I am proud that my friend stays with me. Amen? What would you? Would you want to imitate this friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. Church, this is my challenge to you. It's who we are imitating. Who am I living for? Who is living through me? That same spirit that lifted Jesus up from the grave lives in me. And I can make it in life. Amen? Thank you, church. May the Lord bless your heart. May God change your focus, your lenses, to see that there's a model there for us. Don't let the world substitute this model with their own version. Hallelujah. Let's pray.